This is O'Reilly Week in Review for December 15th, 2008. I'm James Turner, contributing editor at O'Reilly Media, and I'll be your musicless host as we look at what's been going on around the O'Reilly universe this past week. We'll also take a look at what's coming up this week, and we'll try to find some music. The more chronologically aware out there may notice that this is not coming out on Monday this week, but instead on Wednesday. You may have heard that we've had a little bit of a weather event here in the northeast of the United States, and while generators do exist, it's a little hard to do production work when all of your network connections are down. Thankfully, we've got our bandwidth back, and we hope to be back onto a normal schedule next week. Speaking of severe weather, this week we had an opportunity to publish an interview we did last week with Dr. Joshua Werman, who's the president of the Center for Severe Weather Research in Boulder, Colorado. You may have seen Dr. Werman if you watched the Discovery Channel show, Storm Chasers. Dr. Werman drives his mobile Doppler radar into some of the most severe weather on Earth, like hurricanes and tornadoes, to study their structure. Like any high-tech endeavor, sometimes the things that get you aren't the high-tech equipment, but the simple stuff.
The dials have a lot of parts, and they're also built on what is a shoestring budget compared to most technology of its sophistication. You know, we don't have a space shuttle-sized budget or a military-sized budget. So we're doing a lot of our own engineering. I'm not an engineer. I'm a meteorologist, but I am the chief engineer of our project. And it's a struggle to try to keep all those parts going, keep them going in a hostile environment where we're bouncing down the roads and getting water and wind and suffering all those conditions. And sometimes it's sophisticated things that go wrong. Something could be going wrong with some of our fancy signal processing. But in this case, it was the most mundane thing. There was a pin in the monitor cable connector that was gone. It was one of the last things I would have thought of, because usually a monitor cable is a pretty secure thing. We're worried about other kinds of connectors and other specialized equipment in the radar that might be failing, not something as simple, as mundane as a monitor cable. Obviously, next time that'll be higher on our list, but next time it could be something else that's broken.
As with all articles mentioned in this podcast, you can go to the O'Reilly website and check for the O'Reilly This Week blog postings to get links to all of the stories mentioned. If you've ever been frustrated by the media coverage of computers and technology, you could have an opportunity to change that. The Knight Foundation Scholarship offers a full master's degree in journalism to a working coder or web developer who would like to move into a career in journalism. O'Reilly contributing editor Tim O'Brien recently talked to Rich Gordon, associate professor at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, about the program and also about why traditional print media seems to have had such a difficult time adapting to the new realities of the web.
A whole bunch of reasons, I think, were, you know, the mass media, which were the dominant form of communications and the largest single component of the media business from a financial standpoint. It's in decline, and it's been in decline, actually, probably for several decades, probably since before the internet came along. But that decline is certainly being accelerated by new technologies and new platforms. Most newspapers, the internet came along, and they said, oh, it's another edition of the newspaper. And we can maybe do some other things with that edition. We can publish more frequently. We can put audio and video with the stories. But at the end of the day, it's just another edition of the newspaper. So they bought a content management system that made it possible to take text and photos and publish them on the internet as pages. Well, you know, that had to be replaced pretty quickly if you were going to take advantage of the true capabilities of the medium. Some papers have gone back to the core and rethought what they're doing and say, you know, we actually need to go back to the basic question of how do we store our content, you know, and what content do we store, and how do we tag it so it's interrelated, and how do we make it possible to generate new products, whether those are print or broadcast or web, out of content we already control. You know, how do we, what do we do when we have an opportunity to partner with a Yahoo, say, and they would like to have a feed of events in this community to publish on Yahoo? Well, can we even deliver them that feed? You know, do we even have the technology to do it? Do we have this information structured in a form that, you know, can be easily redeployed, can be distributed to others, can be tagged, can be parsed by, you know, software to produce interesting things, you know, and I think most traditional media companies, you know, have not gotten there yet.
And now it's time for the O'Reilly Week in Review quiz. First, we'll start by answering last week's quiz. As you may recall, if you were lucky enough to be listening to last week's podcast, we asked about Digital Equipment Corporation and their early model computers, all of which started with the letters PDP. PDP 8, PDP 10, PDP 12, PDP 6. They didn't call the DEC System 20 PDP 20 that I knew of. But in any event, what we asked you was, what did PDP stand for? The answer is Programmable Data Processor, and there's a quick story behind it. When Digital Equipment went for funding in the early days of the company, they were told that there was no funding available for computer companies because IBM had the business locked up. After a little quick thinking, they returned and said, oh, but we're not making computers, we're making programmable data processors. At least, that's the story. Unfortunately, we didn't receive any correct answers to this week's quiz, which means no one is the lucky recipient of an O'Reilly book. Well, you've got another shot now. And this week's question is this. The term hasn't been used much lately, but computer memory used to be referred to commonly in terms of words. That's because, rather than addressing 8 bits, sometimes a computer addressed a larger increment, like 16 or 32 bits. Commonly, the word size was a multiple of 8 bits, 8, 16, 32, and even 64. But there were a few bizarre computers out there that had word sizes that not only weren't a power of 2, they weren't even a multiple of 8. Name a model of computer produced by a well-known computer manufacturer and commercially sold, so your cousin Bob who made a 17-bit word computer doesn't count, whose word lengths were respectively 12, 36, and 60 bits. Now, it's possible that you're going to come up with one we never heard of, so try to provide some documentation if it's an obscure one, but we do have 3 very specific computers that had 12, 36, and 60-bit word lengths. If you think you know the answer, send it to podquiz, P-O-D-Q-U-I-Z, at O'Reilly.com. We will take the first correct answer, and you will receive the choice of any in-print book in the O'Reilly catalog. Unfortunately, we can only ship physical books inside the United States. If you live outside the United States, we will offer you the choice of any of our PDF books. Good luck. I don't need to tell you that right now it's important to keep your skills sharp. That's why O'Reilly is helping you to stay competitive. If you go to the main O'Reilly website and click on the link labeled Stay Competitive, you'll find out about the courses, books, and conferences that you can use to keep your skills razor sharp. Also on the website this week, blogger George Reese has had a very popular set of blog postings dealing with the technology and future of cloud computing. Check it out. Finally, if you're looking for what to give that hardcore geek for the holidays, check out our special subscription offer on Make Magazine. 4 issues, a full year, for only $24.95. Who knows, maybe you'll find a homemade portable def ray under the tree next year. Well, that's it for O'Reilly Week in Review this time. The only technology podcast produced in a federal disaster area. Join us next week for a new quiz and to find out what's been happening in the world of technology. This is James Turner for O'Reilly Media.